Production. Recorded live.
Grace, mercy, and peace. Good morning to you today. My name is Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries and Outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries. We'd like to welcome you to our Lion Eagle Apostolic Network, acronym LEAN, held here every Saturday at 11 a.m. based on 1 Corinthians 12 and 12, many members of one body. We thank you for joining us today, and it is going to be such a blessed and awesome time as we share today in the topic of what qualifies you for ministry, title, or function. With all the wars that we have going on out there and many lost in between, it's important to understand what people's concepts and views are concerning that and then to see what the Bible says. One of our foundation scriptures we're going to talk from today is Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 20. You can find our ministry on the World Wide Web at www.socmi.net. That's www.socmi.net. And you can learn more about the vision and the purposes of this apostolic team and find out more of our personal walk with God in our leadership bio area. There's also some discipleship and leadership training, base training there at the bottom of the first page. You can press that link. And also, you can sow a seed into this fertile ground, this ministry that God has given us to work in to help us to continue to move forward and spread the gospel. We'll return momentarily to begin our discussion today after this worship here with Misty Edwards of the International House of Prayer.
I'll see you first.
Peace once again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Lion Eagle Apostolic Network, held here every Saturday at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries, and our topic that we're sharing on today is what qualifies you for ministry, title or function. It's very important for us to understand what actually qualifies us for ministry. And so I just was impressed by the Lord as I've been praying this week to pose this question in our fellowship and our gathering this week, to not only hear the heart and mind of God's leaders and God's people, but also that we may get counsel from the Holy Spirit through His Word. So welcome, everyone. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Amen. Amen. So today we're really looking into what qualifies you for ministry, title of function. I pulled up some scriptures that I feel is very pertinent. I'm just going to read them, Mark 16, 15 through 20, and then we'll open up our discussion. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So these are the scriptures. Of course, it's not all-inclusive. We know there's many reference scriptures to what we're talking about today. But these are just some of the base scriptures to set the foundation. and the arena for us to discuss in. And so what qualifies you for ministry? Let's deal with that question first. Anyone can start out.
I'm Pastor Blakely.
Grace and peace. Good morning, sir, and thank you for joining us.
All right. It's a blessing. One of the things that qualifies us for ministry is to, first of all, we need to be born again.
Amen.
And have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And be able to understand what it is to know who Christ really is in our lives as a believer. And then as we continue to walk with the Lord and develop our lives as we study and pray and seek the face of God, we'll begin to understand what grace God has placed in our lives, and the qualification that comes with that is to be able to understand what ministry really is. And I believe that ministry is really all about service. And it means to serve in any capacity available, or to show a willingness of spirit and to meet the needs at any time. And it also deals with the definition of it is one who attends as a servant. And so as we are developing as Christians, we need to understand that we are called to service, not only just to salvation, but we are called to service. And in any capacity, and we'll find the grace of our ministry as we continue to walk with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love it. We're just getting started, and that was a good opening because it's absolutely so true. I like that you brought forth that definition of understanding exactly the word ministry and what it is. I just know as we just look at just some of the scripture in Mark, when we read the background history, at the time Christ was speaking a forthcoming administration, though he was speaking to the apostles at that time, it was a forthcoming administration, meaning that he would give that responsibility to every Christian believer. And so, Apostle Trent, are you on the line this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what is your input and your view on what qualifies us for ministry?
One of the things I was thinking of was scripture, gifts and callings. The calling of God, you know, that God has placed on our lives or in us, but just as Apostle Blakely had said, you first have to have a relationship, being born again and having a relationship with God, because in Acts, where we've seen where one of the sorcerers, where he, I don't want to mix his name up, I get him, where he was going around doing things by using just to be the gifts, but he was wasn't by God's direction or under the leading of God, but he was out there just for gain, for, you know, and he was where. So it's more than just a gift, but it's because of the your relationship with God, and then the calling of God, which actually directs us or into the area of ministry that God wants us by the calling and the gifting in our lives.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Absolutely correct. I mean, you know, the Bible is so filled with putting us to work more than it is with setting up people's own kingdom. You know, setting them up in a high chair that they may look down upon others. It's a service. God released us to serve him, to serve the greater will of humanity, which is to teach all to be able to get in relationship with the one who created them. Because most people, because of the Adamic mindset, don't believe they need to have a relationship with God, because they're living in a world of tangible. You know, the scripture lets us know in Genesis that the moment that Adam realized that he was naked, he was looking to clothe himself. And God said, who told you he was naked? He already knew that he had broke relationship, you know. And so when we understand of walking with God in relationship, we understand our qualification has been qualified already just by our acts of service by faith in Him. Hallelujah. So it's a very absolute thing that we must understand that when we deal with operating in ministry, like the apostle shared and like our brother minister Kenneth Jenkins is sharing here on the chat, it's very clear for us to understand that it's service. You know, we are serving, and that's why we're servants. And so when we start dealing with the other element to this conversation, what qualifies you for ministry title or function, now we begin to understand and express that. And I don't want to, you know, get ahead of myself, but is it title or function that qualifies us? We already know ministry is a service. It's a serving. Okay, so who is qualified to serve? Is it by title or is it by function?
I believe that we are by function. And it could be both in respect. But I believe that when you're first called, you're called to salvation. And with call, there is a call into ministry or to serve. And we'll find that grace as we walk in relationship with the Lord. And many of us, as we began to serve, walk with the Lord in service, we'll see the function that God has placed on the inside of us as we, you know, begin to realize what God has invested with inside of us through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And through the Word of God, because we'll have identification through the Word of God as we walk with the Lord on a continuous basis. And so I believe title is only just to give us what we are functioning in, but actually is really all about the function, because service is all about function.
Amen. Apostle Trent?
I concur. I was going to because I was saying it's by function, because title, because even today, I mean, just lately here, we've seen more and more people. We hear people, you know, they with different titles. They have this for whatever reason. Some don't realize what it is, what that possess so far as that title is supposed to label or back up or what it is, but they just have a title, but some don't even have a call of a calling in that area. We have a lot of, I guess, going, I'd say not name calling, but position calling, where a lot of people have the title of bishop, but, you know, in the area they're walking in, it's not even lining up with what the Word has given as direction. Amen.
Apostle Hill.
Praise God. I was trying to get in there on that first question, but
well, I'm gonna try to
cover them both. But the Lord dropped this scripture in my spirit, because you know, I've taught on this before, and matter of fact, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. It tells us, and it definitely lines up with what the brothers were saying. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, what God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing in their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, in other words, you know, one of the things about qualifications for ministry, and even before we even begin to represent Christ, just like the brother said, I definitely believe there's got to be a relationship with God. And when we recognize where God has brought us from and the mercy and the grace that he showed upon us, we are able to show that to others. And when we become a witness of Christ and we begin to release the love of God into others' lives, we can begin to identify now where we stand at with God and with his people. Because we're literally taking on the likeness of Christ and giving I don't know the word to use, but we're literally releasing an atmosphere for forgiveness for others to come to him as well. So we have to. I talked to an apostle one time and I had to ask him. I said, "What kind of apostle are you?" And the reason why I asked him that is because he didn't have any mercy for anyone that was coming to Christ. And he would automatically begin to judge people by what they had on, what they wore, how they presented themselves, how they talked. It didn't matter what it was. If they wasn't aligned with whatever idea he had for ministry or for even for salvation, he would automatically cut them off. I said, that's not what Christ is calling us to. That's not the qualification of a leader that the Lord is looking for. You need to develop a ministry of reconciliation. And you probably don't even understand the salvation that you have with the Lord yourself. And I oftentimes have always talked to, and we probably spoke about this many a times, you know, where's the foundation? You have to get that foundation built up in you in order for you to have some type of qualification to move in this thing. You know, if you don't understand the love of God, if you don't understand salvation, if you don't understand reconciliation, you can never get to that place where you can be even made mention of for qualification for ministry. Praise God.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Anyone else want to interject in on that?
Yeah, I want to chime in with that before. I believe that when we as Christians are able to serve, we need to be serviced. And I believe that if we are serviced correctly through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God and through our relationship with the Lord, then our behavior and our character will line up for service. But also I want to say about the function or the title and the function, the title should have a representation of our function, vice versa. And I believe both of them are important because one gives identity to the other. And I just wanted just to say that.
Amen. No, delve in a little more, Apostle, because that's good what you're touching on. Expound a little more on that, and prophets want to chime in after you on that. But it's okay. Expand a little more on that because that's very important what you're saying.
Now, we can have the title of a teacher, one who instructs others and one who, you know, instills doctrine into others. But then the function is to lay out the materials for, you know, the edification or exhortation and comfort for the others. And so one identifies the other. And so we need both of them because it's almost like if you go to the store and buy a can of soup, expect a label to be on it so that we can know what's inside of it. And so the label gives an identification to the package. But we still expect that when we open the can, it should be soup in it. And so I believe that both of them are important in terms of understanding how we are to walk with the Lord in terms of service.
Amen. Prophetess?
Amen. You know, I was thinking about, you know, going right in, you know, to the character element. Because, you know, even as we see the Lord raising up leaders in the scripture, I think there was a show of faithfulness. And, you know, we've come into a time where a lot of leaders feel like, you know, well, God called me, you know, it's just time. And they don't want any time of a show for faithfulness. The word says a faithful man who can find. And I believe the Lord looks for a faithfulness in service. even as I heard, I believe, Apostle Trent and Apostle Blakely both, you know, talk about ministry being service, you know, being a servant to the people. So I believe there has to be a trying of that faithfulness in service, you know, and a commitment being observed, because God looks at our commitment, and God tries everything. You know, I was sharing, you know, one of the divine processes of God is proving. God tests and proves everything that he uses. And so, you know, even as we see from the very beginning, after God declared, you know, let there be light, and, you know, in Genesis as we go, when we see God establishing everything, and then he said it was good. So there was a determination that what he had done was good. So God looks at and takes assessment in our faithfulness, you know, our ability to stay committed, you know, that there's not a shifting and a changing in our life, but we are people of integrity. You know, we're one with our word. You know, so I think there's an examination, and as Apostle Blakely also said, you know, there's definitely a tie with title and function, and they both are important. You know, because the title is important in that it should denote your function. You know, it should not just be, you know, something to flaunt or something like that, but it's signifying, just as we see in the world, a doctor goes by doctor such and such. Well, a doctor is his function. You know, and so I think that when we see leaders, you know, professing, you know, declaring openly what they were, you know, it had everything to do with, this is my work, you know, and this is what I do. Paul references himself as being an apostle of Jesus Christ, having everything to do with, because I work this work, you know, and I want you to examine it. You know, the way he constantly shares his work and declares that he's an apostle, he's saying, examine it. Make sure my work lines up with what I'm saying. You know, look at the people's lives. My apostleship is determined by the people's lives who are affected. You know, and so I think that, you know, I know that an examination it should be there. You know, in qualification of a leader, examination should be there, and I think character should be in place. You know, I think that there should be a level of character in place, and there should also be a level of service shown. You know, a level of service already shown of faithfulness and commitment to the people of God and God's plan.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone wants to interject into that part of the conversation?
Yeah, I would like to. I just wanted to. I definitely in total agreement with what Prophet has said there. You know, one of the things that we find in Jesus' ministry is that when he started to call any of the disciples forth, you know, one of the requirements was to leave everything behind. You know, if you was going to follow him, you needed to leave some things behind. You know, and one of the scriptures that come to mind, he said, "No man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And when we look at when men and women of God are interested in ministry, there's got to be a level of commitment there. There's got to be a level of stayedness. And, you know, that's not even a word, but it's got to be a place where it's got to come a time where you become faithful to the move of God that is taking place. You're attaching yourself to the head leadership, and you're following the directives of the Holy Ghost that is being mandated by that ministry, and you're doing all that is required of you as it pertains to becoming an emerging leader, and you have to be watched. You know the scriptures tells us that those that say they are apostles, they need to be tested. You know, and even from the point of entering into any form of leadership, we need to be tested before, you know, we decide or we start already putting up our picket signs and saying, I'm an apostle or I'm a prophet and all of these different things. You have to have had some type of a servanthood with someone else and serve someone else at some form of capacity before entering into all of these different titles and functions. There has got to be some type of stability within you to prove that you are ready and more than capable of being a leader. You know, I think about even over in Acts chapter 6 when the disciples figured out that they just couldn't do everything. They had to find some faithful men, some men who were full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, as the scripture says, and they appointed them to conduct the business of the affairs of the church. And that's where we need to start looking for faithful leaders, that we need people that and we need to be people that are faithful in what we believe that God is calling us to do. Praise God.
Amen. Praise
Hello.
God.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. This is Minister Muldrow. Okay, I came in late. I'm actually working. I've listened, and you know, I listened to everybody's comments and whatnot, and their interjectory and their input. You know, the Lord has revealed and has shown unto me that whenever He chooses someone, they are people, the individuals that God chooses for the work of the ministry, these are individuals that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can say we're this, we can say we're that. But the thing is that when God calls you and He sends you, He will equip you. And what I mean by equipping you, God will not only send you, but God will prepare you. God is the one that is going to bear witness to the ministry that He has given you. And I have seen where true vessels of God, preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, all are preachers. And I have seen where Holy Ghost filled sent people have come and have proclaimed the word of the Lord. And not only proclaimed it, but they have come and power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And the reason why there's demonstration shown by the Holy Ghost, this is evidence. This is evidence that the individual who God has sent to preach, to proclaim, to give a message, whether it be one person or whether it be a congregation, God is going to bear witness and to the words of that preacher. Remember, I said apostles, prophets, evangelists. Whomever He sends, He's going to bear witness to that. But someone said, I believe it was a prophetess, she said, if I'm not mistaken, even the brother who just now finished smoking, if I'm not mistaken, one of y'all, both of y'all said something about prepare. And it's true. God is going to prepare you. He's going to prepare you for the work of the ministry. And when God sees fit, when He knows your heart, then He's going to send you. And there are certain things that we have to go through. There's a character building. Someone said something about character. There's a character building that has to take place in us. And when God sends us, and I'm a living witness to that. Before God sends anyone, I don't care if you go to a seminary school, I don't care what you do. Until God sends you and God gives you the mandate, you can rest assured that God is going to equip you and He's going to bear witness unto the words that you speak unto the hearers. And I'm sorry that I came in late, because like I say, I'm working, I'm a truck driver, and I'm on my Bluetooth, and I forgot that Apostle said that y'all were going to gather today, so that's why I came in late. Amen.
Amen. Well, bless you, Brother Muldrow. I thank God, I've been talking to you for a little minute, but I thank God for you coming in today. And we definitely appreciate your input, and it's adequate and it's valid. And I do want to ask, I have a caller from Michigan and South New Jersey. I think that might have been Mudlow, South New Jersey, but I didn't want to not give anyone opportunity because I know we kind of picking up in this conversation. So the person calling from Michigan, did you have any input?
Well, God bless you. This is my first opportunity to come in, of course. I've seen it on Facebook, and I felt the spirit of God, and I really don't thoroughly know everything that's been stated. However, what I do know is that God is a God that has historically been a God of principles, patterns, prototypes, and order, and that he has laid out the foundation of through his word on what we should be as people of God. I think that Jesus laid a wonderful example for us in that he came in an attitude of submission through his parents. And we see, when we look at his life and his lifestyle, we see that. So I think that we've left to some varying degree, the order of God in that discipleship is very important, it's very crucial. It is the identifying factor for people to look and recognize and know that we are Christians. The word states, by this shall all men know that we are disciples. And love is the identifying factor. And encompassed in that love, the word lets us know what love is, and it defines love. And so I think holiness is an aspect of discipleship. And from what I can see and what God has dealt with me about and in my little lifespan, what I look and see is that we have, as a people, not all of us, but a lot of us, we've left the tutelage of having somebody to disciple us in holiness and character, steadfastness and faithfulness and integrity. And those things must be set back in place, and those things must be in order. And it is true to me what the young man said prior to me, that God is the one who calls. He's the one who qualifies. He is the one who sets us aside. He is the one that consecrates us. And Jeremiah, the testimony that Jeremiah had was, before I was formed in the belly of my mother, God knew me. He ordained me. So we have to begin to, as we recognize and know that God has called us and set us in a place with himself, we have to be holy. We have to be disciplined. We have to set ourselves under godly leadership that's going to give us insight and instruction. Jesus did it. It was the set pattern for the apostles of the Lamb of God. And so I think we have to get back to the prototype that God has already laid out in his word, and we have to get back to the mandate, mission, assignments, and go forth in the things that God has called us to do and be. In the body of Christ, I think, for the most part, and like I said, in my few little years of being on this planet, the church has lost its moral compass, and that's in part because we left the aspects of sonship, the father and son of God sitting under good parenting and allowing the word of God to be manifested inside of them, so they can, when they get up and go for those things that need to be in place, are in place. And the signs and wonders follow them, not because they want to be recognized for self-gratification, but because Jesus Christ needs to be edified and glorified, and that he may get the glory out of our lives. And that's all I have to say from Michigan.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, praise God. Bless the Lord. What was your name again, woman of God?
Bridgie is fine. My name is Bridgie.
Bridgie, okay. Well, praise the Lord. As you were sharing and as you were depositing, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that the many things that he has given you in counsel to speak, some of the depth of what you know has not been received. But God said in this season, he's arranging the ears that will hear what the Lord is saying. I just felt a very strong presence out of your sharing, out of your being, you've been fashioned quite differently, and God has cut you quite sharply in such a short amount of time. And I share quite often that God is specific in his calling, and we're fashioned in that line, in that purpose, according to what we're called to accomplish. And we know, as we're talking today, when we get past all of the, whether you're a prophet or this apostle or so forth, when we get past some fighting and understanding titles, then we began to understand the different functions and administrations that are specific. We see Moses coming as a deliverer, though God said he spoke with him face to face, and the prophets had dreams and visions is how God spoke to them. We always see a specific identification, even when God called for Abraham and when he called for Esther, you know, and different women and men in the Word. So I see the Lord arranging specifically, because it has nothing to do with ministry dates and stuff like that. It has to do with God restructuring the body that have lost its course. And every time in Scripture we see when God brought a restructure, he separated a people before that time. And some of us on this line, I just got to release this word, some of us on this line, we have been separated a while ago, and we did not understand why we didn't fit the pattern of the regular church structure. But, and that was because God was separating you from the sin that would come forth, that he would keep you pure and holy to himself for a time to recapture the hearts of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So this here conversation that the Holy Spirit has started has opened up and sprang into some great and powerful areas. I want to add another word into our conversation, and I know the sister had asked. Our conversation today was, what qualifies you for ministry, title, or function? And that's where we started at. But one of the greatest things, I heard Brother Mudlow follow up with Apostle Hill and follow up with Apostle Blakely and follow up with Prophetess Sidera, and that is about the preparedness, being prepared to go and do the work. Well, according to Scripture, the preparation first started with our faith to believe that he is, to believe that Christ died and was resurrected and paid the price for our life. And when we stay in that line of humility, the grace and mercy of God operates out of us to the needs of the people. And that's why somebody that got saved today, if they had no interference by people's religion and ideology, they can come forth tomorrow and heal their grandmother, because the Holy Spirit would be able to work through their life purely just on the simple faith. The word says if we have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. So that gives us a clue into the idea of how God has released such a glory measure to our life that if we just do one simple thing, and that is to believe. I believe the great men that God has called forth in a former time, as God moved them in stature and fame, they lost their humility. So now God is calling you and I. And we must remember along this journey, as we deposit God's truth, not to lose our humility, because once humility is gone, so goes the grace and the mercy of God. Anyone want to interject? Praise the Lord.
I just add that that's really so true. I mean, you know, because you get to a place, and one of the things that I've always learned in ministry is that, and you know, they used to use it as a cliche back in the day, new levels, new devils. But there's so much truth to it, because as you continue to go forth, you're going to always and constantly encounter certain type of spiritual attacks. And if you're not, and you might find yourself, you know, maybe messing up along the way, if you're not humble enough to get it right and get it together and get that instruction and receive it so that you can continue to advance, yeah, eventually you're going to lose that grace and that mercy. And that right there, we don't want to lose. The Bible shows us over in Acts chapter 4, the church continued to advance because of their humbleness, they specifically stated they operated in a greater grace, and a greater power. And we never want to lose that. We always want to have the opportunity to receive all that God has for us in all that we do, and no matter what our function or what our calling is, we never want to lose that. Praise God.
No, also, I want to say that in the midst of all of this, I began, my mind went back to the framework. And as people coming to the Lord, the Bible declares that as newborn babes, we desire that we might grow thereby. And our walk with the Lord is not only just growth, but we also must grow and to develop. We can grow arbitrarily in the Word of God and in certain areas of our walk, but we also must develop in those things. I heard of a prophetess, Sadira, use one of the words, the word examine. The word examine, when you really think about it, means to look close at. And I think what is happening, we have developed a Christianity where we take on titles and offices and positions, but we never look at ourselves and examine ourselves and look close at how we're functioning, how we're living, what our character really is all about, what we're really doing in our walk with God. And so I believe God is really going to take us back to a place of examination. We need to examine ourselves so that we might be able to realize whether we're still in the faith. And one of the things that Apostle just said, he was talking about we need to have belief and have faith in God, but that is developed throughout times of examination and study and seeking the face of God so that we may become God, mature in the things of God. And that's why we have so much misunderstanding in the body of Christ, because many of us, when we came to the Lord, many of us were just had mantles through at us. And soon people see folks come into church, the first thing they say, you called to the ministry. They never developed them. They never taught them the basic foundations of what Christ is really all about in their lives. And so what happens, a lot of the people live a shipwrecked lifestyle. And so we got a lot of folks running around with a few scriptures. Somebody told them that they were called to do something, but personally themselves, they really never really examined themselves because they weren't taught to examine. Walking with the Lord, we was taught to understand what it is to be sanctified, to be set apart, to understand who Christ is in our lives. And I think a lot of those basic principles, we have left them. And I think we need to just go back to basic understanding of how to serve the Lord as a Christian.
Amen. That is definitely one of our core main things that definitely got to be clear and understood. It's like so many things that we're speaking about today and that God has been putting in our hearts as we prayed and cried unto him is really the church has never left the elementary stage because we haven't got that level together yet. You know, the Bible talks about us moving on beyond the elementary gospel. And what's amazing, when we understand the greater works, these shall they do greater works, in order to get to the greater, we first have to deal with what Jesus first left. And we're having so many problems with what Jesus first left because we're still dealing with people trying to qualify what they could not be in the world, my God, inside of the church. They're bringing iniquity in their heart to try to qualify their self-esteem, their inadequacy inside of the house of God, and so they launch themselves freely. But, you know, I like the way Gamaliel, and I might be saying his name wrong, you know, the Sanhedrin leader, the teacher of the Lord, told the rest of the leaders when they wanted to lay hands on those that were ministering, the apostles, Peter and them. He said, others have faded because we did not touch them. And I'm paraphrasing. But if we take hold of him and he has been sent by God, we're going to all be in trouble. So it's one thing we could rest assured. What we see, this uprise, just like a cake, when it's too much baking soda inside of it, it busts and then it deflates. Hallelujah. So we know, rest assured, the Bible tells us not to put our focus on those that are coming with a sideway or are immature or are novices. But one thing, rest assured, that we shall stand, everything that is true will stand above everything else that's not real, because God tests and prove everything. The Bible says he tests his angels. So there's a testing and a trying consistently. And we kind of know those who have not been qualified in function, because when you ask them how long they've been in and you ask them their test, they don't have nothing to say but just God sent them. They feel that they're authorized to be released just by God, which is only true when it shows forth, as Mudwell described earlier, that it shows forth clearly in the function. Just at the simplest place, we got more people running from imps, they're not even strong demonic powers, than we have people that's actually casting them away. And that's what's building platforms for people that are really not what they appear to be. But the Bible says, out of their own lust, people create teachers for themselves. Anyone else want to interject?
Well, I wanted to make a statement from Michigan. It's really ironic that God tells Moses at the burning bush to pull off his shoes because he is standing on holy ground. And what I find very ironic is that we are in the presence of God, but yet not in the act of humility, because in his presence we're still standing up instead of taking off our shoes and bowing down before him. And John the Baptizer, he states, when the fulfillment of prophecy or the fulfillment of the word comes to pass, when he has to baptize Jesus, he begins to state that he is not worthy to do this act, but for the sake of the fulfillment of the word, he does it. And I think far too often, you talked about self-gratification earlier, that we are not lifting up Jesus. We are lifting up people to a stardom level. We are idealizing people from the pulpit when there's a certain definite place of servitude that we must be into, and that Jesus Christ has to get the glory, the honor. And when we see people, unless they're transparent, we cannot see Christ. If Christ is not involved in their life on a daily basis, and if he is not being lifted up, then our flesh is. And it's clear what the scripture says about the flesh. And the man of God earlier made a statement. He talked about the word of God and those babes being needing the word of God. And what I looked at the scriptures and found ironic the other day when it said those who in the word who don't use it, who uses it unskillfully, they use it unskillfully in the areas of righteousness. So as we begin to look, man of God talked about examining ourselves to see whether or not in the faith you can think that you're in a place based on how God moves in the service, because you have not identified within yourself the areas of sin or the areas where you have left God getting the glory and moved into self getting the glory, that the manifestations of God are more important than God himself. And we have to go back to looking and examining ourselves, our own self, to see whether or not we still operate in the faith of God in acts of humility toward him. Recognize he is the omniscient one. He is the omnipotent one. He is the Lord God Almighty, and he alone will get the glory, and he will. In the mighty name of Jesus, he will.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My God, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sister Bridget, and I hope I'm not saying the name wrong, but I'm telling you, God has a focus on what is coming out of your belly at this time. I am definitely being blessed. I don't know, it's just a move that's on your life, a saturation. I'm not going to go too far, but I do see your intercession and your waiting and your cry unto the Lord, and I promise you one thing. God is going to allow you to lead a faithful people. That's what I can promise you, because I even see those that you've been among, hallelujah, that did not listen and obey, and some of them God struck. Oh, by Kadamo Shekinah. God says he's sending you a faithful people that will follow you and obey what God is speaking through you. Because I want to make sure I say this part clearly, as we all have identified, it is God that qualifies us. But as the woman of God came on and began to share about God's order and structure, and Apostle Blakely and all of us here that we constantly speak in that area, that God, in his order, he always uses people. But the failure is, it's the reason why we end up back in God's face alone is because the failure of the people to obey what God had said. And so God is producing and has produced an obedience in you. And I'll tell anyone on this line, so to speak, when you make it, because there's nothing wrong with that. You have to be careful for those that are already there that try to convince you which way to go, though it may be right in what they're saying, but because God brought you unusually, he's not going to do it the same way he did it with them. And we have to be careful on their advice, because just like the prophet of old that God sent to the king and told him to fast because he obeyed a senior prophet, as a woman of God just spoke about those we see bigger than us, which is not wrong in honoring their place of experience in the word of God and in administrations, but if we honor what they say over what God has presently spoke to you, we're the ones that suffer God's judgment. So we must be careful, but I just see the Lord sending a faithful people to you. I know that God has sent you on this line to give out, but I also see that the Lord has given us to deposit into you, not that you haven't received, but I mean specifically, prophetically, because the Lord it just showed me that, and I want to release some solid men of God that I know, and I know they've heard the word. Now, I thank God for their obedience in waiting. But Apostle Hill, I want you to share the word of the Lord that I know God has given in your heart concerning this woman of God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I definitely hear the Lord bringing forth a different sound that he's been preparing for such a time as this. And there is a sound that those that will hear, as the man of God spoke earlier, those that will hear, it will begin to release them into a greater place in him. It's a sound that will call them into a place of intercession and prayer, a place where they'll be elevated in the things of God, where they have missed it because others have told them that it was okay to be there, and it was almost like they try to pity pat and kind of pacify the wounds that was on their life. But God says that because of the boldness and because of the fire of God that has been burning on the inside of you, that when you begin to release that sound, it's going to beckon them to come into that place of where he's been calling them forth into, and that place that he's ordained and has specifically designed for them. And be it not dismayed, woman of God, because there are other things that you have been inquiring of the Lord concerning your personal welfare and things of that nature, and God's getting ready to take care of all of those things. And because of your faithfulness and because of your diligenceness in seeking him, the scripture does tell us that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And God says that because you have had put your hands to the plow, you're about to experience the abundance of rain that shall come forth out of the kingdom, and there shall be a witness even in your family that will begin to understand what God has done for you, that you have also been in prayer for as well, says the Spirit of God.
Apostle Blakely.
We certainly just thank the Lord for you, and as the apostle was just speaking, I hear the didactic and the presentation that God has given you through the Spirit of God, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying there is a company of people that God is going to raise up through your training process. God's going to train many through your life, and when I was listening to you, it's almost like I heard the old mothers that was back in the day when they were coming along and giving the wisdom and how to live a life according to the principles of God. And it's almost though you have an old soul, if I could just say that,
yeah.
In terms of being able to have the wisdom and having that intuitiveness on the inside. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise you up in such a way that God's going to bring about a quick move in your life in such a way that so many lives are going to be changed. And even with those that are coming up against you, it doesn't really matter, because all that is really just giving you a validation of God's divine purpose in your life at this season in time. And God says there is coming a tremendous refreshing in your spirit, because you've walked through a lot of storms and trials during this season. But God says there is a refreshing coming to your life as you are releasing a refreshing, but there is coming a refreshing in your life and bringing a place of prominence in your life through the Spirit of God to bring help to those that are helpless at this season and time of your life. And so God said, be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Apostle Trent Russ.
Praise the Lord. My sister, Lord, speak to me, showing me about teaching. He said it wasn't as the talking about teaching the people that he's bringing to you, not as the elementary level, but into the intercessory and into the area of to the closeness and to seeking God's face, teaching them about being on their face or being in the presence of God. It's a teaching of a place of bringing them into a place where God can be able to use them and not them to be puffed up or within themselves because God is using them, but as a place of a low place and of humility, because God can use them when we bow down, just as you said earlier, when we submit and we bow down, God can raise us up. So God doesn't want to raise up people. He wants to raise up people. He don't want somebody who's already puffed up and raised up. He wants to raise them up, and God's going to bring the people you're bringing. He's bringing you. You're going to be able to bring it to a place where God is going to a place of humility, and God be able to raise them up into the place and to the places that He needs them. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Prophetess, do you have a word for this sister right here? My wife is tending to the children. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's on her way over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then I want us all, not I want, but I feel invoked by the Spirit after Prophet has finished sharing for us to pray in the Holy Spirit and to reach the Lord. It's just an atmosphere that's over this call today, a special, if I wanted to say special, but it's just something unique and specific that God is sowing out into our spirits.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry. My name is Bridget. Okay, amen. Amen, praise the Lord. Well, amen. Well, as I was walking over, one of the things I heard the Lord say, do not be discouraged because you're not received. You've experienced a certain level of rejection, and have kind of even gone before the Lord with reconfirming that you're to do what he said. The Lord says, as sure as you follow his voice, he will begin to set a domino effect of doors opening for you and a platform and a people that will hear and receive the word of the Lord. The Lord said it is a time of harvesting, that there is a remnant that God has set aside specific for the time and type of teaching that the Lord will have you to do. And I even hear the Lord saying to begin to write those things, liken unto what's the word, almost like a curriculum. Begin to write those things that he has shown you, but that and not so much that they're different in that they're outside of the scripture, but the methodology in teaching those things and conveying those things he said have come from his heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So praise God. Here at the Lion Eagle Apostolic Network is one thing that we base on, number one, unifying the body of Christ, and knowing that everybody has their grace measure. So even as when we read church history and the beginnings of the synagogue, the one who had the Spirit come upon them was the one that took lead. You know, we've got structure now and all those things happened from back then, not that that's wrong, but the submission to those that have the grace measure of that area, people still, because of title, you know, they assert their authority over what God is doing, and we don't do that here. So I want to submit myself as God's servant unto your intercession, and I want you to pray us in the presence of the Lord. We're going to pray with you, but there's a certain release that's going to happen that's coming out of you now. You may feel this is real strange, but I am pulling on what God has placed in, because God says as you release out, there's going to be a fresh dew that come upon your life, and when you leave this phone call in 7 days, in 7 days exactly, you're going to have 30 specific people that enter your life that is going to change the course of your ministry direction. 7 days, 30 specific people. Hallelujah. So if you will, as the Spirit of the Lord leads, can you lead us into worship and prayer?
Amen. Are you talking about me leading or somebody
yes,
else?
Yes, my sister, yes. That was to you. Yes, I'm sorry.
Father, we give you glory. We thank you for your loving kindness. My God, we magnify your name. You alone are worthy. We adore you. We lift you up. There is none like you in all the earth. You are the lily in the valley. You're the bright in the morning star. My world is our problem, Father. My God, you are help when we don't even recognize we need it. I give you glory, God. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that your mission, your mandate, and your divine assignment will be carried out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, have your way on the phone lines today. Move in the midst of your people. Send a yoke destroying, body removing, anointing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, I thank you for the mandate. I thank you for the instruction today. I give you glory. My God, I ask you to release the angels of warfare to do battle in the realm of the spirit. My God, loose your anointing to begin to go forth in the realm of the spirit. My God, to begin to move upon the lives and the hearts of the ministries that you got represented here. God, move on your sons today in the mighty name of Jesus. God, have your way in Jesus' name. God, I ask you to give us strategic battle plans in the realm of the spirit. My God, I'm asking you to release the messages of angels, my God, to begin to set up this deal as they never had it before in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, have your way. My God, one is about to go to Africa. My God, I pray that you will begin to shield him. My God, that your word will begin to go before him. And God, there will be an apostolic prophetic release in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
My God, hallelujah. I don't even know who lied the most, but God, I pray that you would so bless the man of God and the woman of God. God, that your will, your purpose, my God, and your intent will begin to move in them like never before. That sons of daughters are be birthed out in the realm of the spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. My
yes,
God, that this young woman I see, my God, that you will begin to use her, that she will birth out. My God, that when the Marys come and they're young and full of the Holy Ghost, my God, that this woman is prophetess, that God, she has a word for them in season, out of season. My God, only because she's already been pregnant, my God, a little bit before I got pregnant. And there is a word that you got down in this woman's spirit. There is an apostolic, a covering that she sits under. And God, have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, move on like never before. Give us inside revelation in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, open up her ears that you can hear what she can hear, what the Spirit of God is saying to her in the mighty name of Jesus. God, that she will begin to open up her mouth, and God, the environment will begin to change because of the living, breathing word that flows forth out of her in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, my God, have your way in the name of Jesus. My God, touch the person that you gave the author this life.
Lord.
You are the author and the minister of our faith. And God, I thank you for that what you're about to do in his life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for moving him, my God, in the political arena. I give you glory that there is nothing too hard for you to do. My God, that as you begin to move him in the prophetic arena, my God, that the governors and even senators, oh God, will begin to listen to what you placed in his heart in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, that he did not think it's strange. My God, the environment. My God, in breaking the religious spirit. We give you glory. We magnify you. We honor you tonight. My God, there is nobody like you. And I speak to every hindrance voice by the power and authority that's in the word of God, that's placed by divine authority inside of me. I plead the prayer of Jesus on every Jezebel spirit. We bind it and take authority over it. And we lose it outside of the territory. My God, that it cannot operate around him. It cannot minister to him. We plead the blood of Jesus in every place that we come, this individual will come away from thinking they even have to lay hands, that there's power in your word.
Yes, God.
God, I thank you for the power that's in your word that you're about to release in your spirit. There's a change going in. There's a change going on, a rippling effect going on in his spirit, God, and his sense that you're about to do something. My God, let the fires of revival begin to burn. He said something coming and quite put his hand on it. But God, you're about to move the nation in holiness. My God, you're about to move us back to revival. My God, you're about to move the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the father. My God, broke out in him those things that you put in him before the foundation is this world. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak for the fundamental basis of your word, God, that he would eat the word. My God, and he would not regurgitate the word. My God, but the word would go through him. And God, I see you using, oh my God, a lot of prophecies been over his life. But God, I see Daniel, and I see John, and I pray for full manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, that he will begin to go forth, and he will begin to write prophetically, that he will begin to open his mouth. And God, he begin to deal with this man as a child. I see you. My God, I see you speaking with him as a child. I see him being different as a child. And I give you glory. My God, that you would use him in areas, my God, of rejection. My God, that deals with men, that you would use him and that men would come to know, because he's crying out to you about the men in the body of Christ. My God, he's crying out to you about men in general. Where are the men in the house? My God, and you taught him some things that he knows. My God, you put your deposit of your word inside of him, and as a sure word, even though God, he stands in the midst of being younger in a low line environment, just like I do. But God, you've given him access. You've given him wisdom, and you've given him the anointing to know.
Thank you, Jesus. You use your authority, and there is an undeniable anointing
for maturing the body of Christ. My God, I pray that this individual would understand the mission, assignment, the mandate, and my God, walk in the authority that you place, that they will not look to the left or to the right, but God, they will begin to look focusedly, directly upon you, the author and the finisher of their faith. My God, I thank you for causing their voice to be heard, but it's not their voice, that they will begin to echo, God, what you said in secret. God, that they will not be afraid to step out and say without a shadow of a doubt what you have said, the way you have said it, not putting fluff on it, not putting sugar on it, but begin to open up their mouth. I see the word of correction coming out of this person's mouth and setting the body in order. I give you praise with the wisdom and the understanding of a father, because you're his father. And God, I thank you for healing every area that's related to his natural father that still has some symptoms and some side effects, and I mean no harm. But God, you know when you tell me to do something, I'm going to try to do it just like you say. And God, because there are leaders on the phone, because there are your men and your women on the phone, God, I give you glory. I ask you, God, to step up and impede the progress of the enemy in any place. We release the spirit of confusion on every plan of the enemy. We send confusion and division back to the camp of the enemy.
Yes,
and we lose
Thank
the
you,
spirit
Jesus.
Of a destroyer, that the plans of the enemy would be annihilated and destroyed, because the anointing is that which will destroy you. And I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that a man of God, an apostle on the phone, that you want to use mightily and strong. And God, when he opened up his mouth, he had like a trumpet, but it's old school. And God, some host and said that they don't want to hear you. But God, I lose the power of your word, that old anointing. My God, that the church them left, that the church to move away from, that he will begin to come forth. And God, just as you gave it to me the other day, to speak a word into a woman's life, and before she got off the phone, my God, the television show was calling her. I released this word, my God, in the realm of the spirit, that this apostle, you on the phone right now, you don't sing like you used to. You don't even play like you used to. I lose the anointing of healing. My God, to come praying, oh my God. I was the anointing of God in the healing dirt of Jesus Christ to begin to saturate you in your legs, man of God. Oh my God, that middle iron deficiency, man of God, in your life for a long time, and you've not known what it is, and you'll go for a period and feel a depletion of your energy. But I speak to every system in your body. I speak to the living center. I speak to your respiratory system. I speak to your respiratory system. I speak to your skeletal system. And every system in your body be healed. Others have prayed, but there shall be a manifestation of the word of God in the aspects of healing. And God, through your music, God, through your voice, God, through the songs, is about to release a healing anointing. As he told you in days of old, I want to use you in healing. Let your will be done. Let your plans be orchestrated. Let there be no, my God, ill effects. I thank you that every symptom is being dried up right now. All side effects of even drugs, pills, prescriptions I'm talking about. My God, there is no side effects because you are clearing them right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the chart of the living God. And God, I think that as one individual, you're about to open some doors. My God, and I see them sitting on TBN. And God, I see them sitting there and they twirling their fingers. But God, this is going to be my divine assignment. And God, they're going to be a mission mandate. I bind the spirit of fear. I plead the blood of Jesus in every place that it exists, in your mind, in your body. My God, around you environmentally, we pull it out and we kick it out by the authority that's invested in me as a believer. And my God, I give you praise that Lord, power, peace, and soundness is being released and loose in the little mind. The word that let this mind be in you, apostle. You apostle, you're the Paul. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. My God, let there be a divine, my God, instruction on what the word allows me. It means let, man of God, let the mind of Christ dwell in you with me. God is calling you to take the city. I see him giving you the keys, but you have some obstacles. You've had some things come against you, and because of that, you've not understood that God is trying to bring you totally out of religion, man of God, and you don't even recognize. And I mean no respect, sir. Oh my God, that there's a residue of religion that's resting on you, and God is saying, I want you to go back to the streets. I want you to train evangelists the way I showed you, said the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to begin to take the streets for me. I want you to take them into the job houses, said the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to take them in a hospital like I showed you so many years ago. My God, begin to move him in the things of the Spirit. My God, move him away from the agenda of his past. And my God, set before him the agenda of your future. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that you're releasing today the spirit of praise, my God, in our wounds, the spirit of praise, the spirit of praise, down in the men of God wounds, down in the men of God loins, and God trauma giving birth, and God, they didn't want to leave the baby, but God, the baby left them. I pray that your spirit would move upon them, God, and God, that you would correct them, and that you would reconcile them back to yourself, and God, that you would get the glory out of what was birthed out because it was for something and not for nothing in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the Abraham on the phone line tonight that she are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, that you will get the glory, that you will get the honor, and my God, the praises shall be none us than yours, and we submit ourselves to the will of God. God told us to die daily. Oh my God, pick up the cup of the tape out our crosses and follow you in the mighty name of Jesus. My God, deal with us about protocol and prototype and the order of heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. So I pray, warriors, to intercede. So our people, God, that's going to stand in the gap. Stop watchmen. Oh my God, stop the intercessors. Stop those that's going to stand before you and just praise you. You said come before your presence with thanksgiving entrance to your good state with praises. My God, that there may be an entrance in you. enemy from within, God. Deal with us about ourselves. Deal with us about our own personal, my God, sabotaging your will in our life. Deal with us about, my God, being wounded in places where you want to heal us. Deal with us about past anger, God, that we still holding on to. Deal with us about unforgiveness, what we're preaching, but we don't know how to walk in it ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I know that there shall be a performance of your word. I thank you. Oh, my God, I thank you. You told me to lay before you. And don't get up until you do something. This is the start of you doing something. And I give you glory because you alone are worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus. There's one person on the phone, and so I don't mean to offend you, but I am that, what they said. God has caught me in every word that was given to me last night, and almost every night I lay before God. And instead of laying by myself last night, I opened up my own personal house, and whoever wanted to lay before God is still laying today. I've given my life to prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord, and I've had so many oppositions in the church, men of God and women of God, but God has opened up the door for me in Hollywood, pictures, movies. I sit with presidents, and I sit at the feet of Jesus in the capacity of prophets with senators and mayors, and they'll hear God in me. And the church a lot of times miss God and miss the move of God. I'm in the process of writing a book about what's coming and what God is doing, and I write the curriculum. Everything that was said, every word that was stated was from the throne room and the council of God. It is true. I'm really, really old, I am an older person, but I sit as a child, God imparting the wisdom of God on my life, called me at 5 years old, and I still feel like I'm a baby, but he is worthy. There was an individual on this phone. I thank God for this audience and the man of God that would feel the leading of the Lord to even release me to go forth in the anointing. I thank God for that same anointing that's resident in me and him on this phone line today. There's an apostle. Apostle, I love you. You got a wonderful spirit. I can even tell you what you look like, but I don't want to embarrass you. But the thing will be, God is saying, you my prophet. I give you things and you don't fully even understand what I showed you to come. And he said, in this season, people not going to stand because I'm going to begin to move. You're going to call people out, and you're going to tell them their name by the Spirit of the Lord, and that is nothing for God to do. He shows me diseases and bodies, gives me names. That is nothing, but you got to pay a price of laying before him, sir. There is a healing anointing that's resident and burns in your right hand, and you've not fully understood what it is that God wants to do. He wants to bring healing to the nations, and he don't want you standing up over people. That's a wonderful thing to do. And just giving him a word, he wants you to lay hands because of the deliverance anointing that he's placed in the aspect of healing the emotions and healing the body. God has placed an anointing up on your life, and sir, you call yourself an apostle, and people have affirmed you of that. And there's nothing wrong with it, sir. And I stand as humbleness and sameness. But my God, we need you as a prophet, sir. We need you as a prophet to begin to say what God is saying. Because the church is void of real apostles that will lay the foundation and the prophetic word. God's history that he gives to the prophets to tell his history is already written. My God, prophecy is nothing but God's history. He's already done it. He's already recorded. And he's given us what he's already recorded. And now he wants to manifest himself in you. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you, God. I thank you for sealing this prayer, every word that came from you. I thank you that you're releasing your angels to bring the word to pass. I thank you, God, that the Spirit of God will begin to minister to us, will saturate us with his presence, with his power. And God, that we move into an awareness that you are here. And walking in spirit simply means I just do what God has told me to do. And God, we will start making it so hard with things that are just so simple. Bring us away from the church being inside the building, because you told me you're coming through and you want to start destroying churches. My God, get us back to the place where, my God, evangelists start and missionaries start going into the homes and taking the word into the homes and taking fasting and prayer and the power of Jesus and the authority of his word back to the streets, back into the homes. God, that homes and lives can be changed. that the plan of the enemy can be terminated, oh my God, and it be aborted in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for terminating that which will try to terminate your premeditated will being manifested and orchestrated in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus.
God.
For that, we just love you, Daddy. We say smooches. Oh,
yes,
my God, I love you. You the God, I wish even you the breath. I say you can't even live with us.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Hadabo Kabashaka. And you spoke right into where I'm walking at right now. And I thank you for not just the confirmation, but I thank you for the push. Habu Karamashake Masa. Glory be to God. God has unctioned me, and I have specific instructions to do something in a certain place this Thursday. And out of many times in my years in the work of the Lord and imagining certain things, you know, sometimes, well, I ain't going to speak about sometimes. I'm going to speak about me. That ministry and that word I gave earlier, I was able to say that because I know what I was living as far as trying to release myself from the iniquity of my former life, meaning coming into Christ and believing the whole thing. You know, you get the church and you got the buildings, you got all of that. And when I patiently waited for God and he stripped me from every idea of that and began to walk down a wilderness in my mind, sometimes as God brought me around certain men and women of God of stature, I would imagine God bringing me forth and this great release happening. Well, this week, God spoke some things to me very prophetically, and it is a prophetic charge that he's placed inside of me to speak. And it's not a new season of it, woman of God. In 2000, I was in Kenya, Africa, and God said that he was sending me to the nations with a prophetic word. And it's been a building and a processing in my life. But what you spoke, Apostle Trent spoke some things to me this week, and what you spoke is in line with that. Though I can't tell anyone, I haven't even told my wife what it is I'm going to do. But God has said exactly what y'all have spoken, and it's going to, it's a time and a season. I talked about this week in our School of Wisdom, you know, God's time, the wisdom of God's time. When God sets a purpose and a time frame at the culmination of that time, when God moves you, everything happens line upon line because you followed his every instruction pre-entering. I truly thank God for your life, even some of the things you said on the end. Like I said, I cannot release it. That just brought more confirmation of the season we're in. But I thank God for you calling on the prophetic mantle in my life. Hallelujah. And I do understand it in correlation to the apostolic charge. I really do receive it and humble myself to it. And I do want to say this. Not because of everything you said on the end, because I was telling my wife as she was ministering and we was on mute, I told her who you was before you explained it because God showed it to me. Hallelujah. And I thank God for your humility and obedience to God to even connect, because it's not about where God has allowed us to come to unless we're able to give that counsel or insight to someone else. Hallelujah. And so I thank God for your life, and I know you met me on Facebook. I do want you to send me a message. I want to send you my number. I want to connect with you, and any wisdom, any intercession or prayer that God shows into your life concerning me, I welcome it. I welcome it. My name is Keith Davis, and I always identify as Apostle of Jesus Christ, and the Lord had me start to say that even as Paul began to say that,
because his whole ministry, he had opposition of those constantly not believing that he was called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he wasn't inadequate why he kept saying it. He kept reinforcing it against what was said to deny him. He kept working harder and bringing forth more proofs and signs that God had called him as his apostle. Because remember, Apostle Paul wasn't part of the original 12, but he had visitation by Jesus Christ. And we even deal in an area of time now where people try to disqualify the continued function of the apostolic office because of succession and all these other different ideologies, but God is making proof by one thing, our obedience through him that shows forth the function and the grace of God. I truly thank you and bless God for your life, and I know that I can speak for everyone else on the line as far as saying that we really thank God for your submission to him, and we thank God for everything that he has allowed you to face and go through in your life to make you be the mature woman of God that you are today, that we may be able to benefit and reap from it. And so there's just really nothing else to say. On top of everything else, I don't want what God has poured out to have any interference. I just wanted to bear witness with the things that you had spoke. And like I said, just please do connect with me. I'm not going to say nothing about the ministry or nothing. You got to go online and look at it. You're online. You go to Facebook. You go to the website. It's all there. I don't want to move away from what God has released, because even as we get off this line and walk through this day, God is going to show some of you your history with him. And some of the report you're going to like, but some of it you're not. But God is going to reveal it to you so you can get yourself together so you don't miss what he's called you to do. We thank you in the Jesus' mighty name, and I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace.